Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that through the blood of Christ we have been drawn near to you. And we pray that tonight as we look at this particular passage that points us in that direction, that tells us so wonderfully how you have become close to us through Christ, may that encourage us, Lord, to live lives that honour you and glorify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the 9th of November 1989, history was made by this man. He's going to hopefully pop up. There he is. His name is Harold Jaeger. He was a guardsman at the Berlin Wall. And on the 9th of November 1989, he opened the Berlin Wall and let the one side of Berlin join the other side of Berlin at 11:30 p.m. Berlin had been separated since 1961. Thanks, Sarah. The wall had divided a city, a people, and a nation. But now it was being torn down. The result would be reconciliation, the restoration of relationships, particularly between families and, of course, friends. But not everyone wanted the Berlin Wall to come down. In September of 1989, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher pleaded with the Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev not to let the Berlin Wall fall and confided that she wanted the Soviet leader to do whatever he could to stop it. She was afraid. Even the French President at the time, François Mitterrand, he feared, as Margaret Thatcher feared, a unified Germany. Physical walls may come down, but other walls, based on fear, especially old fears, never seem to come down. It is those fears that continue to erect walls between people. Currently, there's 14 physical walls in the world that divide people, nations, from the Belfast Peace Wall that separates the Protestants from the Catholic, to, of course, the fences that divide Israel from the West Bank and Gaza. And, of course, recently we've seen how Europeans can build fences quite quickly, especially when they want to stop refugees from coming into their country. Everyone wants to protect themselves from the others. Walls keep people out and protect those that are inside. But walls divide. They are not bridges. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul gives us the big picture of God's goal through Christ in the world. And it's to break down all the barriers that divide us and to unite us in Christ alone. Christ being the bridge that reconciles us to God and to one another. As the gospel is proclaimed, as the gospel is promoted and lived out, God is destroying the walls that divide us and creating one new humanity in and through Jesus Christ. So walls divide and separate us, and humanity seems to be really good at building walls that keep people out, but it's going to be God who's going to bring those walls down. In verse 11 and 12, we see the wall, particularly in this passage, but also the walls that divide us. Having reminded the Gentile readers of what they were without Christ and what they are now in Christ, Paul presents their position in relation to God's people, Israel. Jews always looked down on Gentiles since they were both pagans and they worshipped idols. Being called uncircumcised wasn't just a description of their physical state, but an insult, a reminder that they had no part in Israel or with God. Look at verse 11. Therefore, remember that you formerly, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. And that's just Paul's emphasis there, saying that this was just a physical thing. But name-calling was and is simply another wall that divides people. of identifying the us and the them, of pointing out the others that don't belong to our group. When I was in high school, last century, I caught the bus to school. And one morning when I got on the bus, one of the guys I knew called me over to sit with the group that he had formed. They had actually taken, if you remember, if you do ever remember catching buses, there used to be a seat for about four people just on the side there. So he had purposely prevented anyone else sitting there until I got onto the bus. But unknown to me, you see, he was doing this because he had a plan. His plan was to have a row of Aussies sitting together. And when he had that row of Aussies sitting together, he announced to the bus, "I have now achieved the Aussies together." And from the back of the bus, a voice was heard shouting, "Gobbo's a wog." He looked at me, shocked. I'd never hidden the truth that I was a wog. I'm proud of being a wog. But of course, when I was growing up, wog was not a term of endearment. It was just another war that divided people from one another, like four eyes that distinguished me from those who had perfect eyesight. And it seemed being called uncircumcised by the circumcised made the same point. You don't belong to our group. We know from the Old Testament that circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. It pointed to the, yes, exclusive and privileged relationship that Israel had with God. But Israel was using it as a dividing wall that separated them from the others. And for Paul, this did highlight the truth and the fact that the Gentiles were on the outside. They were the others that did not belong to the rich history of God and his people. They had no relationship with God. Look at verse 12. "Remember that at the time you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." The Gentiles being separated from God's people meant that they had no hope for the future. Meant that they were godless. They did not know the one true and living God, the God of Israel, and therefore they did not know Christ. They did not know the Messiah. So the spiritual state that Paul mentions back in this chapter in verses 1 to 3 had a physical expression: separation from God's people and all the covenantal benefits. I suppose it's like being a refugee or a foreigner in a new country. If you do not have the status of being a citizen, then you do not receive any of the benefits of being a citizen. But one thing that refugees and migrants do is that they remember. They remember from where they have come from. They remember the conditions that they have come from. And this allows them to develop a deep appreciation of what they have received from their new country. And Paul wants his readers, as he said, remember in verse, remember from what you have come from. He wants them to value what God has done for them in and through Christ. Remember, at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But Christ has reversed that. You now have hope. You now have God. And Paul now presents Christ as the man who has smashed the walls that has divided Jew and Gentile and who unites them in himself. If we can have the slides up, please. So in verses 13 to 18, we see this man who smashes walls. Harold Jaeger didn't smash the Berlin Wall. People smashed the Berlin Wall. There's a few photos of there. But he is considered the man who opened it. Even after 26 years, if you can keep going, even after 26 years, he feels uncomfortable with that title. "I didn't open the wall," he said. "The people who stood there, they did it." And here he is. There he is. There's the same man nearly 26 years later. Now, the reunification of East and West Germany in 1990 led to the end of the East German Border Authority, which meant that Mr. Jaeger was unemployed at the age of 47. He tried his hand at a number of businesses selling newspapers, but he says every venture failed. So he retired to a small village outside of Berlin, spent his time giving interviews and travelling with his wife. Now, Harald Jaeger may have brought East and West Berliners together, but Jesus Christ brings humanity together in himself and them to God. Thanks, Sarah. It's through Christ's blood, his death on the cross, that God brings humanity, who were once far away from him and also far away from each other, near to himself and near to each other. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Jesus, through his death, has become the means whereby peace is achieved. Peace that means reconciliation of enemies. Peace that restores relationships. Peace that brings life lived the way God purposed it. This peace is achieved by Christ smashing down the wall that, yes, separated us from God because of our sins, but the walls also of hostility. The walls that highlight the ethnical and social, religious, intellectual differences that divide human beings. Look at verses 14 to 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man, or one new humanity, out of the two, thus making peace. Through Christ, the Mosaic Law, as the old covenant, as the way to God that separated Jews and Gentiles, has now been put aside by Christ. No longer does a person have to become a Jew to be near to God. Through Christ, peace is achieved with God. Through Christ, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. Through Christ, peace has been made, which means that we are free to love one another and to love God without fear. God's goal, as Paul tells us, is to make one new humanity through Christ, the one who smashes the walls that divide us. So nothing should divide God's people. Nothing should separate God's people. The church must, if its faith is in Christ, express this oneness, this inclusiveness, this unity in its life by the acceptance of anyone and everyone, no matter what their background is, no matter what language they speak. Everyone is embraced because of their faith in Christ. TPC, I think, does this. I think it does it well. It's welcome and it's including. But we must not become complacent, but must encourage everyone, and especially our younger people, to be deliberate in including others. We must avoid being a clique, being cliquey. I remember being in a church, actually a youth group. This group had grown up with each other. This group was intimate with each other. This group had known each other over many, many years. And I joined this group, and I felt left out. I felt unaccepted. Yes, they were polite to me, but I never felt one of them. I felt that there was a wall there. And they were simply saying, look, we're happy the way we are, but we're not going to allow you into our intimacy. However, I went to another youth group, and they just loved me. They just embraced me. Sometimes churches or youth groups can become cliquey, comfortable with people they have, and they don't really want to make any effort to change or to know someone new. If we know what it means to be reconciled to God, then we will make the effort to include people and not simply go through the motions. Christ and Christ alone is the one who unites us, and because he unites us, he motivates us to bring others in also. Christ smashes all the walls that this world builds, and the church must not in any way rebuild them. In a world of fragile peace, we proclaim and we promote the gospel as the means of peace. Look at verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Notice that as we preach, as we proclaim, as we promote the gospel, it is Christ himself who comes and through the gospel proclaims peace. Be it the guy up the front preaching from the pulpit or you yourselves as you share the gospel. It is Christ in you calling people to himself to embrace this peace. Recently, North and South Korea organised a gathering of families to be reunited. About 400 families were chosen to be reunited after 60 years of separation. This took place over 3 days. And only 3 days, the South Koreans sat down with their North Korean relatives, but only for 6 times. Each interaction lasted 2 hours, meaning a total of just 12 hours to work through the trauma of more than six decades of separation. Why was this the case? Because the North Korean officials wanted it to be so. You see, Christ doesn't reunite us just for 3 days. Christ reunites us forever. If, as a Christian, I am shaped by the gospel, how can I hold a grudge against my brother or sister in the Lord? If, as a Christian, I have experienced God's grace, how can I not talk to my parents, my siblings? If, as a Christian, I rejoice I have been reconciled to God, how can I not actively seek reconciliation with others? Nursing hurts or past bad memories is not the way of Christ. Christ smashes walls. We shouldn't rebuild them as a church or personally. Like Christ, we should all be wall smashers. But we are not just involved in demolishing walls, but we are taking part in a worldwide building project. And we are the bricks, we are the mortars of a new building which God himself is building and in which he dwells, in verses 19 to 22. It's great when you feel that you belong. And many refugees and migrants choose to belong, and they are encouraged to belong, particularly by their adopted countries, by becoming citizens. When I was in Griffith, becoming an Australian citizen was a big deal. The whole town would come out on Australia Day at Pioneer Park in the heat as these guys took the pledge. From this time forward, under God, I pledge my loyalty to Australia and its people, whose democratic beliefs I share, whose rights and liberties I respect, and whose laws I will uphold and obey. You did notice under God, didn't you? But that's optional. You don't have to say that part. Under God for the church is not optional. Because of Jesus' death, all who turn to him in repentance and faith now belong to God's people, to God's family. Look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Remember back in 12, he said you were separated from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, without God. It's now been reversed. And who's done it? It's been Christ. He smashed the walls. Through Christ, people from different culture and ethnic groups belong to each other and to God. Through Christ, people from different social backgrounds belong to each other and to God. Through Christ, there are no walls that divide us from one another or from God. Because of Christ, we enter and become part of a rich history, and we gain a heritage that rightly belongs to us. And Paul brings this out in verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We, as God's new people, are built on God's revelation of his Son to the apostles and prophets, inspired by his Spirit to preach the gospel. Everything they have written has one focus, Christ Jesus and what he's done for us. Everything they said, everything they wrote proclaims him as the cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone or foundation stone was the first stone set in the construction of the building. It was important because all the other stones were set in reference to this one stone. Thus, it determined the position of the entire structure. Where can you find one of these cornerstones? They're now more ceremonial stones. You can find them normally on a church building. Not sure if Western Creek's got a foundational stone. Of course, the foundational stone has an inscription, you know, opened by the most reverend, right reverend, blue reverend, I don't know, whatever reverend who happens to be there, their name's there, and maybe the architect and whatever. But it's there as a decoration. Many people walk past it and don't even notice it. But Jesus as the cornerstone is not there for decorations, because it is by him alone that God is building his temple, and everything is being set in reference to him. Look at verse 21 and 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This building, yes, is still under construction, but it is occupied. One day, the fullness of God dwelling with and in his people will be realized. But God today does dwell in his people by his Spirit. And it's through his word and through his Spirit that he's building this temple, person by person. The amazing thing here is that the Gentiles, who were once excluded, forbidden from even entering into the temple, are now the temple in which God dwells, all because of Christ. There are many dividing walls in our world. Language, they can be physical, social, racial, I think I got that right. Financial, political, cultural, but because of Jesus, the church has no walls that divide. In Christ, we are all being built into God's temple. In Christ, we all have access to the Father by the Spirit. In Christ, we are all one. May TPC and each and every one of us, by God's grace, live out this truth to the praise of God's glorious grace. And as a witness to the world of the power of the gospel in smashing down walls that divide and bringing together different people from different backgrounds and making them one in Christ. Let's pray. Father, in a world that is so divided in so many ways, help us as your people, as your church, to be wall smashers. Help us not to rebuild any walls that would exclude people. Anyone that professes their faith in Christ, may they be welcomed, may they be embraced, may they be loved. We pray, Lord, that we, as we go out this week into a divided world, that we may proclaim that through Christ there is unity. Through Christ, people from different backgrounds can become one, can love one another, encourage one another, and support one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.